It's back for 2014, the Football Sack Podcast for Brazil, brought to you by Banking on Football.
It is yet another undermanned Football Sack Podcast today. I'm the only guy who turns up on a regular basis. We're patless today.
We're patless. That's an interesting term.
We are patless, but we are with Jack and with Christian.
That's correct.
Today.
Correct.
And so are you, listener.
Still without Aloisi, so.
Which is the main thing. We had a chair available, we still didn't get him on. So that's the ultimate insult. We are going to dissect the overnight action from the World Cup. We also have today's another double guest show. Is this our second or third double guest show?
I'm going to go with third.
Yeah, I think so too. Mm. So, well, I like double guest shows. It means less material that we're required to produce.
And the listeners like it too, because there's less crap they have to put up from us.
Yeah, absolutely. Which is odd that listeners download the podcast and sit there just wishing we'd shut up. But each to their own.
That's it, yeah.
Starting off with Nigeria against Argentina, who we'll maybe touch on with one of our guests later on. But we'll talk about the big story, which is Messi. This is fast becoming his World Cup. He scored twice.
He is. So it's going to be a golden boot looking at Neymar or Messi, but it's great because he's really hit back at the critics who said he wasn't a big player for Argentina. He's never showed up for Argentina, never been a good player at the World Cup. Well, he's currently, he's proven them wrong, but in saying that, we're not even up to the knockouts yet. So
we're not up to the knockouts yet, but the guy's already got enough material for his own DVD at the end of the World Cup. He strikes this morning. Yes, the free kick was great, but we both gasped at the first goal. It's the one you try and hit at training and put in the car park, but he kept it under the bar. He hit that so hard.
Yeah, full instep, as hard as you can. There was absolutely no chance that was being saved.
Yeah.
You know, the goalkeeper could have been literally right in front of it and he wouldn't have had a chance.
France tried that. They tried shooting really like straight at the goalkeeper, trying to push him into the net, but it didn't work.
No, so funny that.
There may be one shot that could have done it last night, but it was Messi's.
Funny, I'll just look. Side note, I bought that History of Australian Football book, which everyone's been tweeting about. Yes. and loving. And the old rules that used to be played in England was that if the keeper had the ball, you had to kick him and push him, and if he fell into the goal, it was included as a goal.
Really?
Yeah, really.
So it was like a game of kill the deal with the pill.
A little
he had
bit
to
like
get
that.
Rid of it as soon as he got it.
Yeah, correct. So he had the privilege of being able to hold the ball in his hand, but as part of that, the responsibility was, well, people could do whatever they wanted to you.
Really?
Yeah, so it was his responsibility to get rid of the ball quickly enough so that he couldn't be tackled into goal.
Why was this rule got rid of?
Well, they brought it. So that was the British sort of mentality. And when the game spread to other European nations,
right,
they were all about the skill and the non-physicality because they loved the fact that anybody could play without having to be big or strong.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, well, fair enough. But, I'd like to see some footage of the old games with, like, the three-quarter trousers, and it would be black and white, and everyone would look like they were running at double speed, like old footage always seems to do for some reason.
It'd be like that the footage of the old Arsenal side versus the modern Liverpool team.
Yeah, if you haven't seen that video, write that down. Let's watch that once we finish recording.
What was it? Harry Enfield.
Harry Enfield, that was it, yeah. Mm. If you haven't seen it, YouTube, Harry Enfield. Liverpool Arsenal. Hilarious. Completely off topic. Let's get back to the football games because we're on a limited time today. Nigeria 2, Argentina 3, as we touched on Messi. But Nigeria gave a good account of themselves and they've qualified as a result.
Well, yeah, well, it was two. It was they won all and then two all. So they just fell at the end there. But, God, they had some. Vincent Anyama is a good keeper.
Yeah.
And the goals, almost the goals are very high quality apart from the last one.
Yeah, and, well, Messi's first goal that we were talking about was really unlucky for Anyama because it was a really good save that bounced back off the post.
Well, he saved it onto the post.
Yeah.
It bounced back, hit him in the back, went back onto the post, came back out, and then Messi volleyed it in.
So, very unfortunate. But Nigeria came out and took the game and, as a result, managed to qualify. They did the exact opposite of what Ecuador did, just completely sat back and waited out of the tournament, which was infuriating to watch.
It was ridiculous. I mean, you've got to get two goals in the last 10 minutes. One thing at least you could do is push forward to try to get that first one.
Yes.
Because if you don't get the first one, you're never going to get the second one.
They had a man sent off, which is unfortunate, but they just went two banks of four and a lone man up front, which is like sort of what you would do in a league game to avoid being thumped because you have one less player, but you need to win.
Yeah. I have no problems doing that until, say, like the 70th minute or whatever. So you could try to grab that one goal on the break, so you only one goal, so you only need one more
to try
goal
and win the game.
And the last 15, 20 minutes you can go get that last one, but they just didn't move from that formation at all. It was was very frustrating for all involved.
The only thing that kept Ecuador in that game was France's really poor quality of finishing. They could have dead set put a Sabutio keeper in the goal because every shot that didn't go wide went straight gun barrel straight down the middle. So, yeah, frustrating night, frustrating game to watch that one. France got what they needed to top the group. So they're through. Ecuador are home and Honduras nil. Switzerland 3. The Swiss, they've won again and won impressively against Shaqiri. What a goal, that first one.
Oh, wasn't that something special? Yeah, he's left foot bullet.
Cut inside on his left. He's a little nugget, that Shaqiri, by the way. But, yeah, Switzerland, I wasn't very excited about them before the tournament, but they've come through and played really well.
Well, historically, they've been a very boring side to watch. You know, very much defensive-minded, hitting on the counter-attack. Like that game against Spain, which they won the last World Cup.
Yeah.
That wasn't a one-off performance against Spain. That's how they played against anyone. And it's nice to see them coming out. They've got a bit more, their forwards are quite flashy. They've got some bit of speed and a bit of finishing power about them. So very happy to watch them and happy for them to go through.
Well, that's the thing. It is nice that they have some talented players, but it's nice that they're actually decided, hey, let's play to our strengths instead of just being stuck in the counter-attacking mold. So Bosnia-Herzegovina also got their first win of the tournament and consigned Asia to going home victoryless from this World Cup.
Which is not good for Asia. So Iran was obviously the only side from Asia which had a chance to go through, but they needed to win.
Of course, Korea could win tonight, but they won't.
They won't. Let's be realistic here. And say that now, they will win. So yeah, $5
absolutely,
on it.
Yeah.
Dead cert.
Lock it in. What was the quote you said that you pulled out of the 442 guide this morning about Costa Rica?
So the verdict in the 442 guide for Costa Rica was, quote, no chance of making the knockouts and likely to receive a tonking or two. They will at least be able to play without expectation and may pull off an unlikely result that proves fatal to either Italy, Uruguay, or England.
Wow.
Which, the funny thing is, actually proved fatal to all three of those
sides. Yeah, well, not so much to Uruguay. It wasn't fatal.
Oh, true,
they dealt them a blow. But fans, that's what you love about the World Cup. 100% written off. Costa Rica are through. But get on Korea tonight. They're going to beat Belgium, no doubt. Well, Belgium have been fairly below par so far themselves.
Well, they have, and they've already qualified, so they might not be in any mood to play football.
They didn't look like they were in any mood to play football when they weren't qualified, to be fair. But Korea have just been so bad at the back especially, so I can't see them getting anything out of that game. But the biggest game of the night, and the one that you and I are the most excited about, the one we would urge everybody to get up for, is USA-Germany. This is just... I wish it was the late game, because then I could sleep through the first ones, but I'm sure it will be entertaining nonetheless.
I hope so. I'm just scared and that it might turn into one of those, you know, both sides will be safe with the draw. So the wing-backs don't push up, the midfielders don't push forward, they're both happy with the draw.
Which is exactly what would have made this game such a thrilling game if both teams were playing to win, wouldn't it?
Correct, because, I mean, if you've been listening to the podcast the past 4 years, it's no secret that I'm a big admirer of USA football. And to see both, it would be really nice if it was one of those games where each side had to win to get through, because I think both sides would have actually complemented each other well. Especially with Jürgen Klinsmann as a coach, would have been quite an interesting little backstory. Then you got Portugal versus Ghana, of course. Not quite a dead rubber, because if either USA or Germany lose, both those teams still have a chance, mathematical chance, to make it. Probably wouldn't be putting any money on those ones.
I think it could be a good game as well. It's a shame that is on at the same time, because that's probably the second best game of the night overnight. But certainly... Portugal need a miracle, absolute miracle if they get through. Most likely scenario for them is to have to win big and hope that Germany do actually turn it on against the USA.
Yeah, so 2-3-0 results would get them through.
But the big game of the night, huge one, the one that they'll be packing the streets out to watch.
You want to set up 5 alarm clocks here, don't sleep through
this. This is the one, do not miss Algeria-Russia. And the thing is, Algeria are actually quite entertaining against Korea. It's just Algeria as a nation, I don't get very excited about them.
It's hard to get excited about someone who plays in North Queensland Fury colours. So.
Yeah, and also Russia, I've felt, four years ago, I thought Russia had potential to go on and be like a really good side, and they've not.
But they weren't even in the World Cup 4 years ago, were they?
No, I'm thinking of the Euros 2008.
Yes, correct, where Gus Hiddink had made them really exciting. the old mate who went to Arsenal was quite good until he went to Arsenal.
Arshavin, yes, Arshavin. That's right. They beat Holland in that tournament after Holland had beaten everyone 4-0 in the group stage, and then they knocked them out in the round of 16. I think they made the semi-finals, actually.
Yeah, they did really well. That tournament, really well. So. But look, you know, it's a case of whichever side wins that game will go through in second place. If it's a draw, Algeria goes through, and to be honest, you know, they probably deserve it.
So if you've managed to stay awake during Christian's preview of that game, you'll love the real thing because it'll be just as thrilling. We're going to take a quick break and come back with our first guest of today's show, Sydney FC's Ryan Grant. Our first guest on today's show is Sydney FC's Ryan Grant. Ryan, thanks for joining us, pal.
No worries, thanks for having me.
What have you made of the World Cup so far?
Yeah, it's been very interesting. A few early mornings and late nights for me, but overall I think it's been very good.
Have you got an individual highlight of the tournament so far that stood out for you?
Obviously, Timmy Cahill's goal, the left foot volley was something pretty special. But other than that, I sort of kept a close eye on England. Obviously, being a Liverpool fan, I love a lot of their players, but they didn't go too well. But yes, can't go past Timmy's goal.
Well, being a Liverpool fan, mate, I won't brush over the Suarez incident. What did you make of it yesterday?
Oh, it's a bit mind-boggling, actually. It's to do something like that three times, it's obviously not a coincidence. It's pretty, it's not very good, but the least you say about it, the better, I reckon.
So you won't see Ryan Grant bonding anyone on the pitch this season?
Oh, definitely not, no.
Are you worried that he might cop a ban that'll restrict him from playing club football?
It is a bit worrying, considering the season he had last year for Liverpool. I think every Liverpool fan would be pretty upset to see him miss out, but then again, he does deserve some sort of punishment, so it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
Now, mate, we've had a few shocks this World Cup. Which has been, in your opinion, which has been the biggest?
England, it wasn't necessarily a shock getting knocked out already, but like I said, I was pretty keen on watching them. Italy also out is a pretty big shock. Costa Rica did really well in through the next round, so it'll be interesting to see how they do, but I suppose you can never pick it. Every World Cup's a little bit different, and there's always a few surprises.
Now, we were talking about Germany yesterday, and he's obviously got Croatian and English background as well as being Australian, and all three of those sides have been knocked out in the first round. Have the boys been giving him much stick about that?
He actually brought that up to me the other day, and I was giving him a bit of stick. I'm always into them boys for that sort of stuff. So if Australia's out, I have to get into everyone else, I suppose, about not making it through. So, he did cop a little bit.
Have you adopted a second team for yourself?
No, not really. I sort of just hoped that Australia would do really well, but they did do pretty well, considering we didn't go through. But other than that, no, I don't really have a team to watch. To go for. I just like to watch all teams in general, I suppose.
Mate, what's your first World Cup memory? Have you got a favourite World Cup from growing up that you can remember?
Growing up, I didn't watch much of it, to be honest. I grew up in the country and sort of watched rugby league growing up, so I didn't watch much of it. But my first memory is when the Socceroos made it through in 2006. And I just remember watching those games and really getting a real good taste for it and watching it from then on. So I'd probably just have to say, when Australia qualified in 2005 or 2006.
Now, mate, one of the big criticisms of Australian football is that players in the country don't really get a chance to make it to the elite levels. What was it about you which made you an exception?
I think it was just there's a lot of luck involved. I think just being in the right place at the right time. And I suppose when I grew up in a small town of Canoundra, not many people, but moved to Bathurst when I was about 12 and played there for a couple of years and was just lucky enough to get spotted in the national titles and go to N-Swiss from then on and then to the AIS and then to Sydney, which I've been pretty lucky. But yeah, it is quite difficult, but growing up out there, you're sort of being a country kid, you don't give up on things like that very easily and you do give it a good go, so I suppose it's like I said, if you get noticed and you're in the right place at the right time, you'll just make the most of it, I suppose.
And you've done well to get from there to playing in the A-League, and I'm sure you've probably got aspirations to join the international scene one day. You've obviously played 25 times for the under-20 and under-23 sides, so once you get healthy again, ambitions to maybe make a crack at Russia 2018?
Oh, mate, it's definitely a goal or a dream. I wouldn't necessarily say a goal, you know, you've got to be realistic, but yeah, I'll be happy to get back on the park this year and see how I go, and then the rest is up to the coaching and if I'm performing well enough and all that sort of stuff. But at the moment, I'm sort of it is a dream, and I'd love to do something like that, but we just have to see how it plays out.
Now, you did your knee against the Wanderers last season. How's that coming along? Can we see you lining up in round one?
It's coming along on track at the moment. I'm just nearly 8 months post-op, so at about 9 months, they reckon you can start playing competition again. So I have been training with the boys on and off, so just to make sure there's no nothing bad happens in the recovery. So it's not, I'm not back full time yet, but I am gradually getting there. But it's looking good at the moment. So touch wood, I'll be right for the game one. If not, I won't be too far off.
Well, mate, we wish you all the very best with your recovery and for the following season afterwards, of course. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat to us.
No worries. Thank you.
We'll just quickly take a moment to thank the sponsors who make this show happen and allow us to bring it to you free. They are Banking on Football. Get a great deal on your banking and score cash for your club at the same time. Go to bankingonfootball.com. And Southern Cross University, who let us record in their studios very nicely.
Control board. We've even got that flashy on-air sign, which is nice.
Yeah, we do have an on-air sign. We should quickly get off the air because we've got to make a phone call to former Argentinian under-20 international Marcelo Carrusca. Joining us on the line is a former Argentinian under-20 international and now Adelaide United player, Marcelo Carrusca. Welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you? Thank you very much.
Marcelo, obviously we'll talk mainly about Argentina with you. They've won overnight. They've now won all three of their group games. You must be happy with how the tournament has started.
Yeah, of course. Every Argentinian are very happy with this performance. We start the less and more. I think we start don't play very well, but now start to appear the real team.
Now, you've played alongside a couple of players who are in the current Argentina squad, namely Javier Mascherano and Pablo Zabaleta. What was that like?
Yeah, when we played together in under-20 Sudamericano that we won, and after we play the World Cup under-20 in Abu Dhabi, I played with these two players and I know them very well, and they are excellent players and very good person too. And I know two Rojo, and we played together in Estudiantes, Fernandez, and we played together in Estudiantes de La Plata too. And the coach staff, Sabella, I know very well how they can play and how they can do what they can do in the pitch. And now they are showing the style and they play very well.
Could you tell, even when you played with these guys when you were young, how good they would go on to be?
Yeah. When they started, it was 10 years ago. Mascherano even was playing not in the first division yet, and I started playing in Estudiantes, and he was playing in the second team, and after he started to play, but when some player can be successful and can be great big players. And Zabaleta, Mascherano, both when they were young, they showed and they can be.
Now, you never played with Messi, but you almost came up against him in the Club World Cup final against Barcelona. How was it seeing him up close?
Yeah, of course. We played the final. Unfortunately, I couldn't play because I was injured, but the game was amazing. We played 90 minutes against Barcelona, best team, one of the best teams in the world, and we lose in the last minute. Messi scored, and we hate Messi in this moment, but of course, this is football, and it was a very good pass.
You now have, Argentina now has Switzerland in the round of 16. Do you think they'll cause any problems?
Yeah, of course. Every single team now is dangerous. It's hard to play, and now we need to be careful. Of course, we need to work harder and improve that we did last night. And I think we can win, but it will be very hard.
Now, you've played, obviously, at a very big club in Europe in Galatasaray, and you've played in some of the biggest clubs in Argentina and Mexico. How does Adelaide and coach Sepp Gombau compare to those clubs?
Yeah, this club is in Australia. For me, it's very good. It's one of the best. Of course, with this coach, we improve a lot. We have one style now. We start to work 1 year ago, and now we know exactly how with the style Jose wants to play. And when the beginning was very hard because we didn't play like this, but now after 1 year working the same style, I hope and I wish this year will be successful for us.
Well, we wish you all the best for Adelaide United for the season and also for Argentina for the World Cup. It'd be wonderful to see Messi lift that trophy. Thank you for joining us, Marcelo.
Thank you very much and good luck. Bye-bye.
So that was Marcelo Carrusca of Adelaide United, but also 16-time capped under-20 international for Argentina, and some of the players we mentioned that he played with at that under-20 World Cup, Mascherano, Zabaleta, Carlos Tevez. We also looked up the Club World Cup final that he only missed through injury, played the semi-final against Barcelona.
Yeah, for Estudiantes, and they were leading for almost the entire match, scored early in the first half, and it took Pedro 89 minutes to equalise, and then Messi obviously scored in extra time.
It took Barcelona 89 minutes. It wasn't just Pedro by himself.
True. But have a look at this team, this lineup. So you had Victor Valdez obviously in keeper. You had Daniel Alves, Jared Piqué, Carlos Puyol, Eric Abidal, Seydor Keita, Xavi, Busquets, Messi, Henri, Ibrahimovic, and then you had Pedro, Toure and Gerard Suarez coming off the bench.
That's ridiculous. That's pretty much, aside from Iniesta, that golden generation team, wasn't it? So sort of take out Ibrahimovic and slot in David Villa, and the next year they won the Champions League.
Yeah, correct. And that was they qualified for this tournament by winning the Champions League.
Yeah, well, that's right. Well, I think this is on the back of them beating Manchester United in the Champions League.
Correct.
In Rome, and then 2 years later they beat them again at Wembley, and that was the team. And sort of peaked, but well,
just incredible.
Way.
And to think, like, so he's had such a career, and to have a player of that sort of caliber and that experience in Australia, yeah, is great.
We were researching before we called him and just going, how is there not much more made of it? What is Adelaide's PR department doing? I'd be having him on banners all over town. This guy has got some serious football pedigree, but as you said, just falling short in the last minute against Barcelona, leading for the whole game, just ran out of juice.
So they should have gone to Boost Juice.
Yeah.
Because if they had topped up on a nutritious and delicious protein smoothie, which are a great source of energy, they would have kept them on top of their game throughout the entire game. It's their fault, but if you don't want to fall into Estudiantes' trap, you can stay toned and terrific with protein smoothies for the weekend warrior in you. So you can play your local 6th Division game for the full 90. You know, you can choose the tasty taut and toned or get in the zone with the Wonder Melon smoothie. So boost your day with a protein smoothie today.
Beautiful. Great plug. And if playing sport and getting the most out of your body isn't your thing, but you love watching sport,
head to, like us,
and nothing wrong with that, head to Arrivederci's Pizza in Brisbane and stock up and watch other people get to the point where they need a boost juice to keep going whilst inhaling a metre-long delicious pizza and a coffee or a beer. 24 hours a day during the World Cup. Arrivederci's Pizza in Brisbane near Suncorp Stadium is the place to be. Do not miss the knockout stages at Arrivederci's Pizza. It's going to be mental. We're going up.
We are going up. I think we're going up on the 12th. We'll do a lunchtime podcast and I'll probably stick around to watch the game that evening.
Yes, absolutely. So if you can join us on the 12th of July, we will be in Brisbane at Arrivederci's Pizza doing a lunchtime podcast. So hope to see some people show up. Nobody's got to show up. we should probably wrap up the show because we're pretty much out of time. So thanks for coming, pal. It's nice that somebody shows up when I do these podcasts occasionally.
Yeah, no, our pleasure. Well, it's a shame though. I mean, because we got no joke as to why Pat's not here because obviously I went to prison. But
Pat's just being a good dad, taking care of a sick daughter. So, yeah, what a bad guy he is,
terrible.
Not showing up.
No commitment.
Yeah, we'll be back tomorrow to mainly listen to Christian talk about the USA. See ya.
You've been listening to the Football Sack Podcast for Brazil, brought to you by Banking on Football.